From the Lend Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of May, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll get an update on crop progress from the statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. And we'll hear all about the weather forecast with Don Dame from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and all about the agricultural energies and conditions on the ground, actually, in Kansas from Dan O'Brien, Kansas State University Extension Agricultural Economist, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, July corn for the day settled at $7.71.5, or three quarters rather, down 14.5 cents. December at $7.25.25, 13.75 lower on the day. July beans up 6 cents at $16.93, and the November at $15.17.5, down a penny and a quarter. Bean meal futures up $4.60 for the day, and bean oil 35 cents lower. Wheat futures soft red 35.25 lower at $11.54.75. The hard red at 12.37.75, down 38.75. The wheat futures for the spring also down 26.25 cents at $12.72.25 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $132.75, down 22.5 cents. The feeder cattle at $168.15, $2.52.5 higher for 100 pounds. And the lean hogs in the July contract at $109.05. Finished $1.80 lower on the day. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana now joins us. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, pleasure to be here today, Todd.
Hey, you know what I did that was fun this morning and you can see on our website right now probably?
I haven't looked yet. Tell me.
Well, you know, cover crops are starting to be kind of a big deal in parts of the Midwest and maybe more in the future. And I went out and watched a roller crimper planter in action. It was really cool. So folks who want to see that should visit willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. And if it's not there now, it will be very, very shortly. We'll have some video up for you. Now, given that, Wayne, we probably ought to talk about what happened in the marketplace today. Corn didn't have a particularly good day, did it?
No, it sure didn't. Today, was, we could classify this a risk-off day. You know, the stock market was down hard. NASDAQ was down. The S&Ps were down. So all of our outside markets and the talk about what's going to happen with the stock market going down like it is hasn't helped anything there. Last week's lows were taken out in the corn, and that, of course, brought in some more selling. So the fund sold 13,000 corn, 3,600 beans, and 9,500 wheat.
I saw that the Chinese said, hey, we're okay with importing some corn from Brazil. That's new for them to import corn anyway, but from Brazil is all new. That probably didn't help the U.S. market very much.
No, they signed a phytosanitary okay. They never have done that with Brazil before. You know, as far as taking their corn, and that sort of opens up to possibly more things. The president saying yesterday that we would send troops and highly defend Taiwan didn't help any of our extra relationships with the Chinese yesterday. And I think this was sort of a slap in the face back, coming right back in and doing this in a hurry, even though we looked for them to be doing this before. But this was a slap in the face.
Now, the Chinese usually are in our market for soybeans, normally by rail coming out of the northwestern part of the Corn Belt. Soybeans today didn't have such a bad day. They finished up in the green. Was that just a spread trade?
Oh, I think that basically we're seeing some very strong interest in beans. We're seeing a lot of talk about export business, and basically along the way, the spread also didn't help hurt anything because people were selling the corn and buying the beans too. So all of that together put it in. You know, the other thing to look at here is we keep the UN, and now Europe is going to Russia and asking for an open corridor out of the Ukraine to help the world food situation. And everybody keeps getting knocked down unless we want to take all the sanctions off. And I don't think they're going to do that. So Ukraine, their crop is looking good. It's looking better. And they're getting a little more planted than what we thought we did. We just haven't got it a way to get it out of the box yet.
This is one of the times when I've been talking about seasonals, I think, for the last 3 or 4 days on the programs. Is this something producers need to pay attention to?
Well, you know, it sure looks like it's that way. It's basically once we get up to the levels we got to on the planted, then we start looking at weather and seeing what's looking along. And it does look like, you know, Iowa is very far along, and they're to the point that rain makes grain, and we got a little rain coming in for Iowa that way. Rain doesn't make grain in North and South Dakota right now, but it does sure through the Midwest here, and it looks like we're going to get some more.
Anything else before I let you go?
That's about it for right now, Todd.
Hey, thank you so much. We'll see you Thursday to record Commodity Week.
Looking forward to it.
Indeed. That's Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday, 72% of the corn crop around the nation had been sown. The rolling five-year average is 79%. 39% of that crop is emerged. 51% is the five-year average. 50%, or half of the soybeans, are now in the ground, and the rolling five-year average there is 55%. 21% of the crop is up and growing. 26% is the five-year average. 63% of the winter wheat has headed. The five-year average is 65%, and it's said to be in 24% good and 4% excellent condition. That's up 1 percentage point from last week, but down from the 39% and 8% numbers from last year. And finally, the sowing of spring wheat across the nation lags way behind at just 49%. Normally, on the five-year average, it's 83%. Now, here are statisticians from Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Melissa Bonds. Weather conditions allowed farmers to gain ground on spring planting with 5.4 days suitable for field work. Farmers made good progress last week with 86% of Iowa's expected corn crop planted, 13 days behind last year and 3 days behind the five-year average. 47% of the corn crop has emerged, 1 week behind last year and 3 days behind average. 69% of soybeans have been planted, 12 days behind last year, but 1 day ahead of the five-year average. 18% of soybeans have emerged, 8 days behind last year and 4 days behind average. 5% of the state's first cutting of alfalfa hay has been completed. Hay condition improved to 71% good to excellent. Pasture condition rose to 59% good to excellent. Livestock conditions were good with most cattle now on pastures. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is Mark Schleusener, Illinois State Statistician, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois farmers and ranchers had several days last week that were suitable for field work. The average across the state was 4.6 days, and farmers used those days to plant corn and soybeans, harvest hay, prepare fields for planting, and to apply fertilizer and chemicals. Temperatures averaged 66 degrees, and that was 1 degree above normal. The average rainfall across the prairie state was 1.4 inches, and that was 1/2 inch above normal for this time of year. Soybean planting moved forward by 24 points and reached 62% complete. That compares to 79% 1 year ago and 57% for the five-year average. 27% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 35% normally. Corn planting reached 78% finished. That compares to 89% 1 year ago and 78% normally. 48% of corn acres have emerged compared to 60% normally. 71% of wheat acres are now heading compared to 89% 1 year ago and 82% for the five-year average. The condition of the wheat crop in Illinois improved slightly and was rated 15% very poor to poor, 30% fair, and 55% good to excellent. In other crops, the first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 7% finished compared to 28% normally. And other hay harvest is 11% finished compared to 25% normally. Pasture conditions also improved slightly and were rated 4% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 76% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland region of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Moderate weather conditions allowed farmers 3.7 days suitable for fieldwork during the week, but excess moisture continued to delay fieldwork in many locations. Corn planting reached 60% complete. That's 20 days behind last year and 10 days behind the 5-year average. Corn emergence reached 24%. Soybean planting was 32% complete. That's 18 days behind last year and 11 days behind the 5-year average. Soybean emergence reached 7%. Planting progress for spring wheat was at 11%, oats at 59%, barley 23%, dryable beans at 2%, potatoes 57%, and sugar beets at 27%. Alfalfa hay first cutting is at 1% complete. Pasture condition was rated 7% very poor, 11% poor, 35% fair, 40% good, and 7% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
All right, thanks. Go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You can find them each and every Tuesday at willag.org, willag.org, in this program, The Closing Markets Report. Dan O'Brien from Kansas State University now joins us. He's an agricultural economist with Extension there. Thanks, Dan, for being with us. First, tell me about your part of the world, where you are and what conditions are like on the ground, and then about the whole of the state as it relates to corn, soybeans, and wheat.
Well, it's been an evolution this year in terms of what dry weather early on and what follow-up moisture in parts of the state have done to bring us to where we're at. Where my office is at in northwest Kansas, we had received some moisture, but still were late in development of the crop, very short. We just had the Kansas Wheat Tour come through, and their projection for this part of the state and for north central Kansas was down some from previous years. Again, 10-15 bushels or more. But we're talking about hard red winter wheat. As they swung south from northwest Kansas into west central and southwest Kansas, they saw the worst parts of the state, and it was real in terms of wheat. It was a real eye opener. And when you look at a U.S. drought monitor map and see the reddest, most drought affected areas, that it matches up with what this Kansas Wheat Tour had found. So they in that southern swing, as we call it, they saw sharply reduced yield prospects. I think when that group turned from southwest Kansas headed towards Wichita in the south central part of the state, they saw some pretty decent wheat, but the memory and volume of acres affected by the western third of the state, especially the southwest and west central, really lowered the U.S. lowered the overall projection to 261 million bushels. I think that's what the wheat tour had said. The USDA in the May crop report had projected 271, so the wheat tour came in below that. You add that on top of the almost 50% decline in the Oklahoma wheat crop and significant major problems, a lot of worries about prevented planting so much, but as failed acres in Texas. And so in a year when we've got very strong wheat prices, and be wonderful to be able to have this part of the world come through with a tremendous crop and help alleviate some of these issues in the U.S., but also in the world scene, it seems that the hard red crop is suffering. When you look, and I think for other crops, we generally have most of those crops planted. You know, when you have dry conditions, you're able to get crops planted pretty decently. But again, the same dry conditions are affecting prospects in the southern part of the state. We've caught some rain in spotty manner throughout the state. We just You know, it's kind of dangerous to ask someone how their crops are doing, Todd. You know, we could talk too long, but we just had freezing temperatures that were waiting to figure out the impact of late freezing temperatures in north central Kansas. Again, that was an area that wheat looked pretty good, and then the corn had emerged. And so we've learned in the past not to jump to conclusions too quickly without waiting to see what actually develops. So again, you're talking about growing points and severity of freeze. So for those watching the futures and the overall prospects for supply and demand, I think that information will keep working its way out in with some greater degree of surety in the next week or so. That information being what the impact of cold temperatures in north central Kansas, possibly up into Nebraska, has been now on not just wheat that was developing, but also for corn. You would hope that for the corn corn primarily, that the growing points were low enough that we wouldn't have a major problem. But again, we just have to see how it all works itself out.
Well, thank you for that update. Now turn your attention to the agricultural energies. What do the ethanol numbers show you this month?
Well, higher prices. Ethanol tied in with the trends that we're seeing in in the overall U.S. energy markets. I've got, and looking at the report on last Friday for both Iowa and for Illinois, you've got almost identical prices. Illinois, $2.78 per gallon for ethanol for the week ending May 20th, $2.74 for Iowa. Here in Kansas, our ethanol price is just a little bit less than that, $2.63 to $2.69 on the 20th also. So really pretty strong ethanol prices. And the trend for ethanol, when you look at it, Nebraska numbers, we had jumped up to in Nebraska to about 280 or so in the last two or three weeks and fallen off some from that. We had been basically down below $2 earlier this same year. So a big run up following the general inflation in motor fuel prices. We follow some local wholesale level gas prices. There's a reporting point out of Scott City, Kansas, not far from where I'm at here. It's in west central Kansas, and prices and in mid-December were basically, again, at $2 for this wholesale product, 10% ethanol blend for gasoline. The last numbers that we've seen now, they're at 343, or heading 343, 344. And that's for 87% unleaded, mid-grade, 89%. You're looking at 361, and of course, local gasoline prices. We have an interstate running through here, have been certainly inflating for what consumers are seeing. It jumped up now to about $4.19 per gallon, and so we think that's pretty high. But there are other parts of the nation where it's much higher than that, even, no doubt. So, really, something to see what's happening in the energy markets, as we bring that back to look out to try to understand where this might take the ethanol industry, well, we'll see. We have efforts to increase the percent of blends, of course, which would be helpful for ethanol demand and usage. We're watching, just like everybody does, the amount of ethanol plant production and as well as stocks, to see if there are any trouble that might be coming down the way. And we do see a downtrend, generally not a horrendous downtrend, but generally a downtrend from about from a recent high in about October, November of in ethanol production, October, November about 2021, down to where we're at now in the most recent weeks, probably a decline of about 5 to 10%. On the overall, stocks had jumped up, are coming off those highs, which is actually a good sign. If we have a tremendous accumulation of ethanol stocks, and that's a supply-demand burden on the market. But that doesn't seem to be a challenge right now. In fact, the latest numbers are at about 23,791,000 barrels, and we had gotten up to about 25 million earlier on. So, earlier on in January, February. So we're down some from that. So you stand back and look at it all, and we're not doing too bad. A lot depends on consumer demand as we go forward for motor fuels. I think that's what the whole energy sector is relying on right now, at least for motor fuel travel related ones. And we'll see where we go. High corn prices so far they've had some effect on production, but they haven't caused plant closures yet. We're still, as we operate on the margin, apparently the high fuel prices aren't stifling consumer demand enough yet to where we're seeing the need to cut back on ethanol production at the plant level. So we'll see, Todd, where we go.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That's Dan O'Brien. He's with Kansas State University Extension. Now let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Don Day joins us from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks, Don, for being with us. Can you start in the northwestern Corn Belt and work your way to the east, please?
Well, at least for the northern areas. So as we talk about the Dakotas up into Minnesota, those areas here initially over the course of the next 3 or 4 days here, I really don't see a lot of precipitation. Temperatures will be a little bit warmer as well. So those areas, at least into the start of the weekend, are likely going to be, for the most part, dry. There's going to be a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity this weekend. But I think they're going to be able to probably get through Memorial Day or most of the weekend with rain chances fairly low. We may start to see something move into those northern areas late Sunday into Monday. But as you go further south and east, it still looks wet. Eastern Nebraska, Iowa, southern Minnesota, into eastern Kansas, Missouri, then stretching into Indiana and Illinois and Ohio. There's going to be shower and thunderstorm activity, certainly here in the short term. This is going to be between now and as we get on into Friday, then as we get into the start of the Memorial Day weekend as well.
And what do you see for the first week of June?
Well, it does look like warmer weather. I think it's going to be a pattern that looks actually quite favorable. As we get into the first week of June, number one, it looks warmer and consistently warmer. We also see not a lot of precipitation, at least in the first few days of June. I think as we get to, maybe towards that first weekend of June is when we might expect something. But actually, I think what we'll transition from is a pattern that's going to be a little on the wet side now to one that's warmer and drier as we get into the first days of the new month.
Hey, thanks, Don.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find our daily agricultural programming and information from the agricultural economist, crop scientist, and animal scientist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Our theme music was written and performed by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Todd Gleason.